Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. Before we start today's show, I want to let you know a little bit that's going on at greatdetectives.net. If you have our app, we have some great extras coming to you. We post one episode that's app users or premium site supporters only access. These aren't detective programs. These are our other old-time radio programs featuring our detective stars. This month, in February, you'll get to hear Bob Bailey in an episode of Romance. Dick Powell tries to save the Federal Theater. And Frank Lovejoy appears in a favorite story adaptation of Mutiny on the Bounty. You can access our premium site with a one-time donation of $7 or more, or by becoming a Patreon supporter at the Shamus level of $4 or more per month. That's either patreon.greatdetectives.net or support.greatdetectives.net for one-time donations. All right, well, now it's time for today's episode of Boston Blackie. The original air date on this one is February the 19th, 1946, and this is The Benson Murder.
Business over to you. Don't, Harry. Don't kill me. You can have everything you want.
I've got everything I want. Now.
And now, meet Dick Calmer as Boston Blackie. Enemy to those who make him an enemy. Friend to those who have no friends.
Order! Order in the court! You may proceed, Mr. Holloway.
Thank you, Your Honor.
To continue, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, in judging Harry Benson, as you will and must, I ask only that you keep in mind this fact, and you will be forced to free Harry Benson from this hideous charge. Police have established that Mrs. Benson died in the city. Died from a bullet in her heart. You will remember, the weapon was still in her hand when she was found in her apartment around noon on a Tuesday. That Tuesday, as on the Sunday and Monday before and the day following, according to the testimony of four reputable witnesses, Harry Benson was at Mountain Lodge. 330 miles from the scene of his wife's death.
If there's another such disturbance, I shall order this courtroom to be cleared.
Proceed, Mr. Holloway.
Thank you, Your Honor. To continue, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, Mrs. Benson had reason to take her own life. You have seen evidence in the form of letters written by the dead woman 2 days before her death that prove she was despondent over her mother's recent passing. On this evidence, I say that Mrs. Harry Benson killed herself and was not killed by her husband. Harry Benson had no reason to kill her, no desire to kill her. But most important of all, Harry Benson could not possibly have killed his wife because at the time of her death in the city, he was 330 miles away. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, you cannot convict an innocent man. I beg of you to weigh the facts and bring in a verdict of not guilty. For Harry Benson has committed no crime, and you cannot find it in your heart to find him guilty of such a crime.
Order! Order in the court! Have you, the jury, reached a verdict?
We have, Your Honor.
How do you find the defendant?
We find the defendant not guilty.
Come in.
Inspector Faraday, there's a guy out here who insists on seeing you.
Tell him I'm busy, Rollins.
I told him you were busy, but he says he's going to see you anyhow. He's the late Myrna Benson's brother.
Well, tell him I couldn't see him if it was the early bird's sister.
Look, I won't be put off. I've got something to say, and I'm going to say
Inspector
it.
Inspector Faraday can't see you, Mr. Jellison.
He's seeing me now.
Now, come on,
never mind, Rollins. What is it, Jellison? I don't have much time.
I won't need much time.
Okay, Rollins. I can handle this.
Yes, sir.
All right, Jellison. What do you want to talk to me about?
You know very well what I want to talk to you about. The whole police department smells. I know that Harry Benson killed my sister. I know she didn't kill herself. I want something done about it.
Now, look, Jellison. I think that Harry Benson killed your sister. I feel she didn't kill herself. But there's nothing I can do about it.
You can send him to the chair for murder.
I tried that. The DA tried that. The courts tried that. But the jury said he wasn't guilty.
And that's your fault. If you had enough evidence against him, the jury would have convicted him.
We had all the evidence we could find. And that was plenty. But it didn't add up to proof.
Then find more evidence. You know he did it. Why can't you get more evidence and try him again?
We can find more evidence, maybe. But we can't bring him to trial again.
With more evidence? Of course you can.
No, Jellison. Once a man is tried and found innocent, he can never be tried for the same crime again.
You mean he's free for good?
That's the law, Jellison. There's nothing I can do about it.
You mean there's nothing you will do?
There's nothing I can do.
Well, I can do something. In fact, I can do plenty.
Now, be careful, Jellison.
Careful? How careful have you been? Thanks to you, my sister's killer goes free. But he won't stay free. I'm going to make him pay for what he's done.
Now, don't be a fool.
Call me whatever you like. If the law won't punish Harry Benson, I'll take care of him myself.
Blackie, is that any way to treat a newspaper?
I'm sorry, Mary. I'll pick it up. But every time I read about it, I get sore all over again.
Reading about the Harry Benson case again?
Yes, and it's practically driving me crazy. Everybody in town knows Benson killed his wife, and yet the court lets him go scot-free.
Yeah, I know. Can't anything be done about it?
Not a thing. If something could be done, Faraday in the DA's office would have done it. Come in.
You Boston Blackie?
Yes.
I want to talk to you, and I want you to listen.
Now, wait a minute.
There isn't time to wait. I don't want the same slough off from you I got from the police. Something can be done about it.
Something can be done about what?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm John Jellison, Myrna Benson's brother.
Oh. Miss Wesley, Mr. Jellison.
How do you do, Mr. Jellison?
I think I know what you want from me, Jellison, but there's nothing I can do.
Benson can't be tried again?
No, he can't. No matter what new evidence I might be able to uncover.
Why is that, Blackie?
For a very good reason, Mary. Our laws are made for the protection of the individual. The law says a man cannot be tried more than once for the same crime. More evidence will do absolutely no good.
But you could do something. You could make him confess.
So what? Even if he confessed, he couldn't be tried again. In the first place...
I thought you'd come running up here, Jellison.
Hello, Faraday.
Now don't let this guy worry you, Blackie.
He's coming with me.
You mind your own business, Faraday.
And while you're minding your own business, Inspector, mind putting away that gun?
It may take a gun to handle this guy, Blackie. He was just in my office threatening to...
I know, threatening to kill Harry Benson for murdering your sister. And nobody would blame him if he did.
He killed my sister, and I won't let him get away with it.
I share your sentiment, jealousy.
You can share his sentiment, Blackie. But do anything about it, and I'll see to it that you also share his cell.
Hello?
Mr. Benson, this is Jones at the office.
Oh, yes, Jones. I was just about to call you. I won't be down today.
All right, sir, but there are several contracts Mrs. Benson was dickering for just before her death that came through today. Do you want to accept them?
Do they look all right?
Oh, yes, sir. In fact, they're most profitable.
Wire acceptance, and I'll be down tomorrow to sign them.
Thank you very much, Mr. Benson. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Luncheon is served, Mr. Benson.
Oh, thank you, Williams. I'll be right in.
Excuse me, sir.
Hmm?
I haven't had an opportunity to tell you before this, sir, but the servants are most happy.
Happy? About what?
That you were not made to suffer for something you didn't do.
Oh, thank you, Williams.
We were so worried all during the trial.
There wasn't anything to worry about, Williams. The law protects an innocent man.
We are all so grateful that it does, sir.
I'll get it, Williams. Now, you may serve luncheon. I'll be right in.
Yes, sir. Right away.
Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benson. This is Jones at the office again.
Oh, yes, Jones.
Mr. Ward at the exchange just teletyped us that your Antigo stock is rising, sir. So is the Delton and Whitry.
I'm doing all right, eh?
Excellently, sir. He advises buying more if you can.
Joe Ward, I leave that up to him. I don't have all the money in the world, but at the rate I'm going, I'll have it someday.
You're a very lucky man, Mr. Benson.
Lucky? I don't think so, Joan. Smart is the word. And you don't know how smart.
Blackie?
Hmm?
How much longer are you going to stand there at the window?
I don't know.
Darling, you haven't said a word for 15 minutes. What's the matter?
Mary, I'm going to do it.
Do what?
Help that fellow Jellison.
Oh, you said yourself there was nothing that could be done.
There is something, though.
Something that'll bring him to trial again?
No, nothing will ever do that. But I can give everybody some satisfaction if I can prove beyond a doubt that Benson is either guilty or not guilty.
Oh, then there is a doubt.
Not in my mind, there isn't. But if I can dig for evidence, prove how Benson could be at Mountain Lodge and still be here in the city to kill his wife, maybe I can make Benson suffer.
But if you can't do that?
Maybe I can prove that Mrs. Benson did commit suicide. That would satisfy Jellison that Benson wasn't getting away with murder.
Oh, Blackie, why? Why, darling? What will you really accomplish?
Well, nothing, I guess, but I might as well try to help poor Jellison. I have nothing else to do. I'll get it. Hello?
Hello, Blackie. This is Faraday.
How's the inspecting business, Inspector?
No jokes, Blackie. You remember Jimmy Bolton?
Remember him? Every time I have a nightmare, I dream about him.
Well, he's out. Looking for you, Blackie.
He can't be. I gave you evidence that sent him to jail for life 3 years ago.
I know that. But 3 hours ago, he broke jail. And one of his jailmates said he busted out for just one reason.
Well, what am
I
supposed
to...
What am I supposed to do about it, Faraday? Call a cop?
Now look, wise guy. Jimmy Bolton went to prison for killing one of his best friends. So he won't think anything of killing one of his worst enemies. You.
And now back to Boston Blackie. Harry Benson murders his wife, but he plans the murder so cleverly that when he is brought to trial, he is acquitted. And the law states that once a man is tried and acquitted, even evidence that later proves his guilt cannot be used against him. Blackie has decided to do what he can to help John Jellison, the dead woman's brother, when he hears from Faraday that Jimmy Bolton, a killer Blackie once sent to prison, has broken jail and is out to get his revenge. As we return to our story, Blackie and Mary are in Blackie's apartment, where Mary has just learned about Jimmy Bolton.
Blackie, you've got to do something.
I'm going to, Mary.
Well, what?
See if I can't either prove Mrs. Benson killed herself or find some way to make Harry Benson suffer for killing her.
Darling, I'm not talking about the Benson murder case. I mean, what are you going to do about Jimmy Bolton? He's dangerous.
I know it, and she's a little too old to be reformed. Well, forget it. Let me see that map of Mountain Lodge country again, will you?
All right, here you are, but please do something about Jimmy Bolton. Look, call Shorty and see if he knows where Bolton is.
If Shorty knows anything, he'll call me soon enough. Mary, look at this map. Here's Mountain Lodge, 330 miles from the city. Mrs. Benson was killed in her home on Tuesday at about noon. At that time, Benson was with four friends at Mountain Lodge.
Blackie, darling, you know it's useless. A man can't kill a person who's 300 miles away. And even if you proved he could, what good would it do you? He won't be tried again.
I know all that too well, but let's see if we can figure this thing out. It's a fact that Benson did kill his wife.
Is it a fact when it can't be proved?
I'll ignore that for a moment. Answer this. How did Benson kill his wife?
I'll ignore that.
I don't blame you.
All right, let's drop the whole matter anyway and worry about Jimmy Bolton.
We'll worry about Bolton later. Let's review the known facts of the Benson case.
All right. According to the evidence, Mrs. Benson was killed in her home on a Tuesday, somewhere around noon.
At that time, Benson was with friends at Mountain Lodge, 330 miles away.
You know, we've gone over this about 330 times, Doctor.
But maybe this time is it. Now, let's keep going.
All right. Benson was at Mountain Lodge for 2 days before his wife's death and for 1 day after. He came back to his house and found her dead.
And called the police.
Then the police arrested him for her murder, saying that he had a motive and it was his gun that killed her.
Which he had and which it was.
But, Doctor, Benson was with four other men at Mountain Lodge all day the day of the murder. He wasn't out of their sight for 1 minute.
Oh, but he was, Mary, several times, and for as much as an hour at a time.
So what? How could he have left Mountain Lodge, come to the city, killed his wife, and gone back there all inside an hour? Now, that's a round trip of 660 miles.
I have it, Mary.
Whatever it is, it's impossible.
Oh, no, not this. The answer is Mrs. Benson wasn't killed in her home, but somewhere within a few minutes' drive of Mountain Lodge.
The police say she was killed in her home.
It looked as if she'd been. Benson planned his murder very cleverly. He sent for his wife to join him at Mountain Lodge on Tuesday. He met her at the train, took her out into the country, and then killed her.
And then brought her body back to the city?
Exactly. He killed her on Tuesday, somewhere near Mountain Lodge, put her body in his car, then brought her to the city Wednesday, put her body in the house, called the police, and you know the rest of the story.
At least one way he could have killed her and still not be away from his friends at the lodge for more than an hour.
It's the only way.
Well, all right, though. Now that you've figured out how he could have done it, how are you going to use it against him? He can't be brought to trial again.
No. But I can see to it that he doesn't profit by his wife's death.
Well, worry about that later, will you? First, do something about Jimmy Bolton. Blackie, who are you calling?
Susie, get me Charlie Kingston in Chicago, will you?
Of course, sir.
And Susie?
Yes?
If he isn't in Chicago, get him on the phone no matter where he is. I have to talk to him right away.
Hello?
Mr. Benson? Jones at the office.
Well, you sound unhappy, Jones. What's the matter? Contracts coming in too fast?
Mr. Benson, it's about contracts, all right, but they're not coming in. They're being canceled.
What?
We've had 11 definite cancellations in the last hour. Our steadiest customers are withdrawing all their orders.
Well, what's the matter?
I don't know, sir.
Well, don't let them cancel.
Well, there's no way to hold them to their contracts, sir. They've got cancellation clauses. All their orders are being stopped quite legally.
Well, don't do anything, Jones. I'll be right down.
Yes, sir.
Williams! Matter with my servants. I have five of them, and I haven't seen one of them for 2 hours. William!
You were calling me, Mr. Benson?
Yes. Tell Harry to get my car. I have to go down to the office.
I'm sorry, sir, but the chauffeur is no longer with us.
Huh? All right, then tell Jack to bring my car around.
Jack is no longer here either, Mr. Benson.
Okay, then you get it.
I'm sorry, sir, but I'm leaving too. In fact, sir, all the servants have gone.
You've all left me. Why?
Shall we say, to keep more profitable employment, sir?
That's not the reason, and you know it. Williams, you can't leave me. You...
I'm very sorry, sir. But goodbye, sir.
Williams, you can't... Hello?
Mr. Benson, this is Jones at the office again.
Now, what is it, Jones?
Mr. Ward of the exchange just phoned. Your stocks are dropping, sir.
I thought Ward said they were rising.
Well, they were, sir. And right after you bought, they kept on rising. But about an hour ago, everybody began selling. Your stocks are down 7 points and still dropping.
What does Ward think I ought to do?
Fine, drop.
But I can't. I haven't the money.
Well, then you'll have to sell, sir.
But I can't sell. Those stocks are all I have.
At the rate they're dropping, sir, in another 2 hours, they won't be worth having.
I won't take the up to your apartment, Mary. I want to run down and see Faraday a moment.
Well, all right, but do be careful, will you, Blackie? I'm worried about Jimmy Bolton.
What's there to be careful about? Bolton will never get near me. And our murderous friend Benson is probably so bewildered by now he doesn't know he's alive.
Get inside the door, quick!
What's the matter?
That big car coming down the street. Look out, dog!
Blackie's not here.
Inspector, Jimmy Bolton just shot a flash.
Where's Blackie? Where'd they take him?
He wasn't hit.
Oh. Well, that's too bad.
Inspector, listen, I'm not Blackie. You don't have to pretend to me. Blackie's in danger, and I know you're worried.
I'm plenty worried, Miss Wesley. Bolton's a cold-blooded murderer. He's out to shoot Blackie or anybody who gets in his way.
Well, can't you do something?
Well, I've got half the force looking for Bolton now. Where is Blackie?
In his apartment. He's promised to stay there until Bolton's caught, but he won't. I know he won't.
Okay, look. You call Blackie every few minutes if you have to, Miss Wesley. Anything to keep him there. I'll get Bolton.
How?
I don't know how, but I'll get him, Miss Wesley. I'll get him.
I'm sure you will, Inspector, but please get him before he gets Blackie.
Yes, Mary. I'm right here, and I'm going to stay here.
You stay right there in your apartment now. And not even go out into the hall?
Look, what is this? There's only one person after me, not a whole army.
Oh, darling, I don't care. Now, you stay right where you are.
I promised I would, didn't I? Now, there's someone at the door, Mary. Oh. Probably the boy with some magazines I ordered. I'll call you back.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Come in. Well, this is a surprise. Unless newspaper photographs make you look like someone else, you're Harry Benson.
I'm Harry Benson.
You're Harry Benson, but there's not much all right about you.
Blackie, I just found out something about you I don't like.
Oh, you've come here to flatter me, have you? Is there just one thing you don't like about me?
Two things. You and your friend, Charlie Kingston.
Oh, I see. You've heard from Charlie.
Indirectly.
Great guy, Charlie Kingston. He's the only man I know who can do things indirectly and get direct results.
I'm not here to talk about the results. I'm here to talk about you. Because you put Kingston up to what he did. I checked and all traces back to you. What are you trying to do to me, Blackie?
Trying, Benson?
You've ruined me.
I don't think you can prove that any more than the police could prove you murdered your wife.
The law says I'm an innocent man, yet you choose to persecute me in your own way. Blackie, what do you expect to gain?
This.
What's this getting you?
It's not getting me, Benson. It's getting you.
Hey, you think I'll crack? You think you can hound me with troubles, ruin my business, turn my employees and then my friends against me? Make me feel alone, suspected, and hunted? You want me to be afraid? You want me to go out of my mind?
Not especially.
Well, I won't. Nothing you can do to me can make any difference.
It's making a difference already, isn't it? You came in here rather calmly. Now you're getting excited.
All right. All right, maybe I do have something to be excited about, but so have you. You leave me alone, do you hear? And I'll get even with you.
Better start now, then. You have a lot of catching up to do.
I'll catch up.
Don't expect me to wait for you. I have other things in mind to do to you before I'm finished. And maybe one of them is to beat you to a pulp.
You so much as I beat Blackie,
I know. You'll pull a gun out. Put it away, then. You don't commit murders that can be traced to you.
I'm not going to kill you. Don't worry.
Do I look like the worrying type?
You're the type I hate. Look, you can't gain anything by what you've done to me or what you plan on doing. Even if I admit I killed my wife, nobody can do anything to me.
You don't have to admit you killed her, Benson. I know you did.
You don't know any such thing.
And I know how you killed her.
She killed herself.
Yes, in a way she did, by coming up to Mountain Lodge to meet you.
She didn't come to the lodge.
No. She didn't get there. You met her. It's strange. Took her to a secluded spot, shot her, then brought her body to the city the next day.
You don't know that.
What's the matter, Benson? You think your plan was so clever it couldn't possibly occur to someone else?
Stay where you are, Blackie.
I'm leaving so soon. I was just beginning to enjoy this.
Yes, I'm leaving.
Better put that gun away before you walk out in the hall, my friend. You might frighten someone.
Oh, no. I'll keep my gun ready until I'm out of here. Now, you can try to stop me.
There he is, Rollins. Nice shooting, Joe. Let's know what hit him.
Hey, Rollins, what's the idea? You're supposed to be a cop.
Hello, Blackie. Faraday's orders were to shoot the guy on sight, that's what.
Well, you've certainly done a job on him. He's dead.
Yeah, we don't miss.
I think you guys have made a rather silly mistake, but I'll answer the phone.
Yeah, turn him over, Joe. Let's have a look at
him. Hello?
Blackie, this is Faraday.
Hello, Inspector. Now, say, a couple of your boys...
Your worries about Jimmy Bolton are over. We just picked him up on the west side. So, relax.
Thanks, Faraday. You're a good boy,
do me a favor, will you, Blackie? I've got your building full of cops with orders to shoot Bolton on sight. Now, will you go out in the hall and tell those two men of mine to round up the others and come on home?
Sure, Faraday. But do you mind doing me a favor?
Ah, what?
Reserve a slab in the morgue. Your men just shot and killed Harry Benson. It was an accident, Faraday, and accidents will happen. But this time, the accident happened to the right guy.
Blackie, I'd have died if I thought Mr. Benson was going to come up here.
Well, he came up here, and he died.
Well, what made him do it?
Dyer, come up here.
Come up here.
Well, you remember when I called Charlie Kingston?
Yes.
Charlie and his friends ruined Benson's business and ran his stocks into the ground in one day.
How did they do that?
Kingston put pressure on Benson's client and told all his friends who had the same stocks Benson held to sell as fast as they could.
I see.
And on top of that, Kingston hired all Benson's servants for a week's party with a $500 bonus if they'd leave saying they weren't coming back.
Oh, I see why Benson came to see you then. He found out Charlie was causing him all that trouble and he knew you'd put him up to it.
That's right. And I'm very glad that when the cops shot at him, they didn't miss him, because I guarantee that now that he's dead, nobody else will miss him either.
This is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. One challenge with Boston Blackie is that sometimes it doesn't necessarily make Blackie look like a genius as much as it looks makes the local police force in this city look a bit on the clueless side. The prosecutorial decision by the DA to bring this case to trial without debunking the alibis just not even believable. And you think Inspector Faraday probably spending weeks on this actually would have divined the truth, even if he wasn't, you know, Boston Blackie. And then you add to it the policeman shooting the wrong guy. But to be fair, the guy was in Blackie's apartment holding a gun on him. And they were looking for somebody who was out gunning for Boston Blackie. And the episode does show that when all else fails, Blackie can practice his own form of rough, albeit nonviolent, justice. And it's hard to feel sorry for the guy he did it to, given that we heard what happened at the start of the story. I was kind of curious how the two plots would play together, with the guy gunning for Blackie and Blackie trying to bring some sort of justice to the situation. I do also like that this does seem to indicate that at this point, the closer, more friendly relationship between Blackie and Faraday seems to be a thing, even though he'll never quite admit it. But even the way that Faraday came into Blackie's apartment in this episode certainly is a lot different than what we would have heard earlier. Now we do turn to listener comments and feedback. Joey writes on Facebook regarding the Brandon murder. Way to go, Inspector Faraday, for believing in and helping Boston Blackie nail the real killer. All right, well, that will actually do it for today. Join us back here tomorrow for yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And next Thursday, we'll be back with another episode of Boston Blackie. In the meanwhile, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.